Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview coming to you live here from the Valley on your Thursday evening. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me in the studio here in SU7 as we get ready to gear up for Saturday's home game with the league leaders, Leeds United, is Mr. Lewis Cat. How you doing, Lewis?
Yes, good mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Have you recovered fully from your trip to Wigan?
I don't think I'll ever fully recover from that drive, but yeah. I'm getting there now.
It was a distressing time for us all going up to the DW Stadium and coming back with no points. But we're going to put that right on Saturday because we're facing Leeds United here at the Valley. On tonight's show, we're going to hear from the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer, as he talks about facing Leeds, one of his former sides, of course. He'll also talk about the tough run, or the so-called tough run, that the Addicts have got coming up. We're going to hear from Darren Prattley on the show this evening as well. The midfielder wants to put the last two defeats into perspective as we get ready for the next couple of games. Heather McKinley from the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust will just give us a little bit of an update on how the ticket in survey has gone and sort of stuff that the Trust does. And then as we continue to look ahead to Saturday's game, we're going to hear from Matt Glennon, former Carlisle, Huddersfield and Halifax goalkeeper, who now has a show on BBC Radio Leeds. He lets us know what we can expect from Marco Bielsa's side. And then Lee Bay will give us the update on the fitness of the squad ahead of that game with Leeds United. Just before we hear from Lee Bowyer, Lewis, every game's a tough game, but they don't come much tougher than the team that's top of the league.
No, no, not at all. It's going to be a difficult one, but back on home soil, we'll be looking for a reaction after two defeats on the spin. Lee Bowyer is obviously very well worshipped up in Leeds as much as he is here, so I'm pretty sure the atmosphere is going to be amazing. I think last count we sold over 22,000 tickets for Saturday. So the atmosphere is going to be good. We've got to make the Valley a fortress again and get back to winning ways. You know, every game in this division is tough, as you say, and Leeds probably the toughest of the lot. But we're Charlton and our fanciest to beat anybody at home especially. So we've got to dust ourselves down after the past couple of weeks and try and kick on and get back to winning ways on Saturday.
Yeah, so of course it's familiar foes for Lee Bowyer on Saturday. The Addicts boss is looking forward to facing his former side.
Yeah, obviously Leeds is a club that I've spent a long part of my career. For me, that was the best side I played for. So yeah, obviously we've got some unbelievable memories and that have a big place in my heart, but for me it is just another game because that was when I was playing. I'm not playing anymore now. I'm manager of a different team and want to win, so nothing changes for me. Yeah, I'll acknowledge the crowd after the game and show them the respect that they showed me for so many years, but my job from last Saturday is to win this game this Saturday. That's all I've been focusing on, nothing else. No matter who you're playing, they're another side that are in our division that are going to try and beat us, so we have to try and match that and do better.
You're sure to get a warm reception from the Leeds supporters.
Yeah, I like to think so. When I was there, we had a great relationship, you know. I'd give everything for that club. Every time I stepped on the pitch, I'd give 100%. Like I said earlier, we've got some really good memories together. So, yeah, I think that they will give me a good reception. And I'll respect them. Just like that, they're going to respect me, you know, because, like I said, the memories we have are something special. We had some amazing, amazing times there.
You find yourself pitting your tactical wits against Leeds manager Marcelo Bielsa, one of the game's great coaches. A big challenge?
Massive challenge. For me, they're the best team in the league. I said that at the start of the season. They should have gone up last season, but fell just short. I watched Leeds the season before he took over. And what he's done with that squad, it's unbelievable. Because it's not much different to the squad that I was watching before he took over and the squad that he's got now. So I have the utmost respect for him and all his staff and what they've done there. And it's going to be a tough game. They're at the top for a reason, and it's going to be a good challenge. You know, we're going to have to be right ourselves, out of possession. They're very, very good at hitting you on the break. The amount of chances they create in the game is crazy. Don't know how they didn't beat Derby last week. Can't tell you how many chances they had. It's frightening. They won 2-0 at Barnsley. And the game created a load of chances. They created a load against Swansea and lost. Like, I don't know what happens there. Let's just hope that they have another day like that, because that they're definitely a side that could go and thump someone 6-0 for sure. They're frightening going forward, and it's a good they are going forward. Their recovery is unripped. Teams can't hit them on the break because they're players. I'd love to know what they do pre-season, because their fitness levels is unbelievable. I've not seen nothing like that in this division. I've watched all the teams, and the way they break, with the pace they break, and the way they get back in their defensive shape, it's great to watch. So, but yeah, we've got a game plan. And we're at home. We're not just going to sit back and invite pressure, because it would be like when teams play Man City, you sit there, Lord Favre says they're going to score at some stage. So for me, we have to play our game. No one else really seems to do that. Everyone seems to give them a bit too much respect and sit off them, and we won't be doing that. We're going to play the way we play that's got us to where we are today, and with our crowd behind us, it's going to be a full house. So with our crowd behind us, it's, for me, it's going to be a good game to watch for a neutral.
So I guess the last thing you need after two defeats in a row is playing what appears to be Barcelona in white shirts. I mean, the way Boya sort of talks about the Leeds side, I mean, obviously he has his connections with the club, which he talked about at the start of that clip, but looking at the side on the pitch now, managed by Bielsa, you know, a coach with so much experience and such a big name in the game, and a team that sounds like it's really hard to beat. And I'm trying to work out if, in a way, I mean, this is sort of a free hit. I mean, they talk about those sort of games in the Premier League, you know, if you lose on Saturday, people probably would have expected it. Leeds have won every single game they've played on the road so far this season. They haven't got the best home form, actually, funnily enough, but this is obviously at the value of the game. So is it sort of a free hit? You know, you get anything out of this game and it's a bonus?
I think so. Yeah, I think any... Also, from a Charlton side, I feel fairly positive in what Lee Bowyer says, in that there's no reason why we should change our game and sit back and be the underdog. I mean, we've surprised a couple this season already. We've been our current position in the table is probably a surprise for anybody that isn't a Charlton fan on the outside, thinking that we were going to be rock bottom of the league by now. So I think we've got enough to surprise teams like Leeds. It always seems to be the Charlton way to lose to the sides you expect to beat, and then when we're all on a bit of a downer, thinking, oh, we've lost back to back, now we're playing Leeds, it's going to be a tough time to play Leeds at home especially, and we'll end up beating them. It seems to be that's the Charlton way sometimes. And I do agree that I think any points we do pick up Saturday will be a huge step forward in my eyes, because at the start of the season, if someone had told me that we'd get anything out of a game against a Bielsa managed Leeds United, I'd have laughed you out of the room. But I have a lot of faith in Lee Bowyer. I have a lot of faith in that squad, and I think that especially at home with a Valley crowd behind them. That's going to be, you know, it's going to be unbelievably noisy here on Saturday. Anything's possible, and we've seen it in this division already this season that absolutely anything is possible. Anybody can beat anybody. I'll be backing us to win Saturday, regardless of where Leeds are on the table.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. I mean, the way that Leeds are expected to come out and play, you know, attacking, swarming forward by the sounds of it. I mean, that's probably what we'd prefer. It's probably more suited to our game at home rather than a team that will come and sit behind the ball, or even the game against Wigan on Saturday, a team that didn't give us much space to operate in. You know, that's when we've been stifled in games over the last couple of weeks. That's when we've struggled more often than not. Over the course of the season, when teams haven't come out to play. If you look at teams like Stoke, who probably were a bit more open on the first home game of the season, that sort of played into our hands a little bit. So, you know, they'll have the quality, certainly, to create chances, but hopefully there'll be a little bit of them that's left themselves open, you know, exposed to our attacking prowess that we have, even without Lyle Taylor.
Yeah, and I think that is easily the case. I think Leeds have shown over recent seasons that they always have a bit of a weakness when it comes to the tail end of games and towards the end. And I think if we're 1-0 down and the atmosphere is building and we're pushing to try and get back into the game, then I think that we've got enough as a footballing side and also as a crowd here at the Valley to probably wobble them a little bit and try and nick something. But I do agree with you. I've seen it over the last couple of weeks with Wigan and Birmingham. They've sort of turned up and given us so much time on the ball and haven't pressed. And we've just been a little bit slack when it's been trying to get push forward and just sitting on the ball and just being a little bit sloppy. And I think Leeds will come here with their game plan. It'll be a lot different to what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. I think that they'll attack. I think that it's going to be one of those heart-in-mouth games. I reckon they're going to have a lot of chances. And a bit like similar to what we had at Brentford earlier on in the season when it was a little bit... They created a lot and we looked a little bit against the ropes. I can see it being another one of those nervy kinds of games, but I think we've got more than enough to try and pinch something and surprise a couple.
Coming off the back of two defeats, how do you think that could affect the Charlton players, the mentality within the group? Obviously, after that great start we'd had, it could be a knock to your confidence. Again, they'll be going out with something to prove, certainly. But do you think that momentum is always talked about as being so important in football? Do you think those two defeats could hold us back or anything? Could have knocked that confidence going to this game against Leeds?
Yeah, I think naturally it will, because we've got such a young squad and a lot of this squad haven't played at this level before, and it's a big learning curve. You know, the team's going to learn throughout the season. We've got young loan players that are probably learning something new every single week in terms of playing against these sides and starting so well and sort of getting on the positivity wagon and then losing a game at home and thinking about bouncing back, but then being rocked by losing your star striker, because there is no doubt that Lyle Taylor has a huge influence on those young players as well and everything that he brings to that side. And I think, although we're not a one-man team by any shout, you know, I think that losing someone of his stature within a footballing side would affect any club in the division, let alone us, where we haven't got the same resources as many others. So
I just wondered on last Saturday against Wigan if that was literally like a 10% knock to your confidence straight away, looking up and not seeing Lyle Taylor up there. I mean, Boyer's talking about on Press Day today and on Saturday about, you know, this confidence. He's saying, yeah, Lyle Taylor's out, but we did create chances against Birmingham. We saw some chances against the Blues. We also saw some chances up at Wigan. You know, he said himself, Tom Lockyer could have had a hat trick. I mean, we did have chances at Wigan, albeit, you know, we didn't really... We haven't taken them for a couple of games. So is it too early to start saying, well, without Lyle Taylor, we're not the team that we used to be? Because people will look at the fact that we haven't scored. We'll look at the fact that perhaps we don't quite have the same swagger about us and say, well, maybe without Lyle Taylor, we aren't the same team. Which way do you think that falls? Because, I mean, Boyer did point to these chances created in the last couple of games.
Yeah, and I think although we are creating the chances, we're not being clinical. You know, before Lyle Taylor was out, I think on the league stat, we'd had the least shots. We were sat second in the league, so it shows that we were being more clinical with Lyle Taylor in the side. And we are a very creative side. Naturally, we have the likes of Johnny Williams, Jonathan Lecco that can make things happen, but there just seems to be that missing link right at the end in terms of putting it in the net. Tomer Hemed looked a bit better Saturday, but I'm not seeing the player I expected to see come in at the moment. I think Chucks and Ike would offer more up there, even though Boyer said that he's more suited to a number 10. I think that when that number 10 position already is potentially filled by Johnny Williams, and he's got competition from Aaron Ozturmer as well, who's impressed me when he's played, I think you're going to have to try and push Chucks into his into a more unnatural position, and that's to play alongside a striker, because I've seen more from Chucks and Ike than I have from the others, and we're already playing Jonathan Lecco out of position into where he's playing up front when really he's a winger, but we don't really play with any width, so he's having to adapt. And I think that Chucks and Ike would create more up top, as well as I think he's a little bit more clinical when it comes to scoring the goals.
Got 75 minutes for the under-23s up at Ipswich, 3-1 win on Monday evening. I think Forster Kasky, Ben Amos involved as well, possibly Adam Matthews. So a few sort of first team outsiders involved in that game. So interesting to see if you get more minutes into Chucks, if he's now thinking maybe it's about to start. But then again, he did talk about Tommy Ahmed today and sort of saying, you know, the only way he's going to pick up his fitness and improve and get sharper is by playing matches. Now, he said he's seen an improvement from game one to where he is now. Was he had two starts now, I think, and maybe a couple of sub appearances. Have you seen any of that improvement? Do you think he was sharper Saturday? Do you think he's done enough to keep his place? Is it too early to be asking if he should be keeping his place, or should we be thinking about changes?
I think I do see an improvement, but I think the problem that we're going to have is that the expectation on him is huge, and the weight on his shoulders now is going to be huge because we've lost Lyle Taylor. I think if he had Lyle Taylor in and around the squad still, then it would be, you know, the weight would be off his shoulders a little bit. If he was playing alongside Lyle in the formation we play now, then there'd be a lot less pressure on him to get the goals, and maybe it would give him time to settle in. But at the moment, we're alarmingly looking for somebody to fill Lyle Taylor's shoes for the meantime and score the goals for us. And of the way that we've played so far, I wouldn't say that Jonathan Lecco is that person. I wouldn't say that Tomer Hemed is that person. I thought Macaulay Bond looked more threatening when he came on Saturday, and he's somebody that's come up from non-league, and it would be silly to throw him in at the deep end at the moment. But as an out-and-out striker and a goal scorer, I look around that squad, and away from Lyle Taylor, I mean, we've the next person who's the goal scorer after that is Conor Gallagher, I believe. So then you're pinning your hopes on goals on a midfielder that's in his first season of senior football. So you're relying on Tamer Hemed, Chucks Anike, Jonathan Lecco to an extent as well to start really chipping in with the goals, because they've got the experience. They've played at this level, and they're going to have to sort of butt their ideas up a little bit.
It's a Leeds team that have kept four clean sheets in their last six league games as well, which
doesn't fill you with confidence.
Yeah, which will make it that little bit harder as well. Right, so we've got a couple of tweets came in. Chrissy T says he hasn't been this excited since we played Brescia away in the Anglo-Italian Cup. Well, I wasn't. I think I was around then, but I don't remember that game. I was a bit too young for that, so I don't know what those levels of excitement were about. Will Bolland says there's still a long way to go in the season. The last two games have just been a bump in the road. Remember the six words: keep the faith and believe in Boya. Cliff Scales says they are probably the best team in the league, but I think we have a chance. We are at home with a big Valley crowd, and the fact they will attack it will not be like a Birmingham where we have to break them down. We will have chances. We just have to make sure that we take them. Evening as well to Adam Biggs and to Jonathan West from the Upbeats who are listening in. Adam wants to see 3 points back on the table for the Addicts, and I certainly think we all do. I mean, it is going to be a huge crowd on Saturday, as you sort of alluded to. I mean, Leeds will have sold out, so that will make the atmosphere quite a good one, I imagine. Obviously, with the Lee Bowyer loving as well. In fact, Marcelo Bielsa was quoted saying, Lee Bowyer is an important. He was an important player in Leeds United history. Charlton started well in the Championship. Every team has ups and downs. Everyone can win or lose against everyone. So, should be the atmosphere should certainly play its part on Saturday.
Oh, it'd be brilliant. I think it would be a great occasion for everybody, and it's probably it'd be quite a nice moment to pinch yourself. And you think back, probably this time last season, we were playing in front of a crowd of probably 11,000-12,000 if we were lucky, and now there's going to be. There's 22,000 at the moment. Then you've got the walk-ups on the day if they're getting tickets as well. It's going to be electric. You know, we saw how loud we can be during our playoff campaign when we had Doncaster here, and how much that valley noise can make a difference. And Boya says it week after week that extra noise and extra push means a lot to the players, and especially seeing as we're probably going into every single game as the underdog, and that's we'll have to thrive off that. It's like I say, it's nice for us to go under the radar a little bit, and yes, we've had a couple of blips over the last few weeks, but before I feel as if before Birmingham and Wigan we were the underdogs, and I think against Birmingham and Wigan we were probably the favourites for the first time to win those games. And I think we prefer being the underdog because there's no pressure, people write us off extremely early, and it's nice to go unnoticed and shock a few people. And I think that with a Valley crowd that we're going to have on Saturday and with Lee Bowyer at the helm, I think anything's possible.
Yeah, you mentioned this time last year. So this time last year, we were playing Plymouth at home. We're now in League Two. So it just shows how quickly things have turned around. You talk about being the underdog. A lot of people have noticed our run coming up ain't the easiest of runs. So we've got Leeds, then Swansea, then Fulham coming up in the next three games. So obviously three big clubs in this division. Lee Bowyer has, though, said that the run is no different to the games that we've already had.
Everyone's saying, well, now we've got a tough run of fixtures. So what about the eight before? Was they not tough? Blackburn away, Stoke at home, Stoke, the team that's just come down from the Premiership 2 years ago, with a budget through the roof. But we've played some top sides. Wigan, they're no mugs. They finished top of our division 2 years ago. Blackburn finished second in our division 2 years ago. They finished mid-table last year. Wigan was in and around that area. So we're Birmingham. And last season, before they had their points reduction, they was just below the playoffs. Like, we've played good teams. They're all good teams in this division. There ain't a bad team. So, yeah, we've got to play. We played Forest, like another top side. So, for me, it's they're all tough. So, yeah, we've got to play Leeds. We've got to play Swansea. So, Swansea's a team that people was tipping to go down or be down the bottom. Now they're up near the top. So, like, you can't predict anything. Every single game in this division is winnable, but there are times when you're going to lose 2-3 on the bounce, especially for sides like us. But our aim is to win every game, but that's not going to be realistic. We can't do that. That's not going to happen. I'd love it to happen, but it's not going to happen. So whoever we play, it's going to be hard. It's not like whether we play we've got Swansea on Wednesday. What's to say that that's going to be any easier, any harder than when we played Forest at home on a Wednesday night? It's not going to be no harder than that. So, and we came out and we should have won that game.
So there we go. Have we been making too much of the run of fixtures that's coming up? Because I remember, I think, probably before the Wigan game or maybe even before the Birmingham game, saying we needed to get a few points out of the next couple because of the run that was coming up. And then we've gone on and lost those as well. But at the start of the season, you're looking at, you know, the likes of Stoke, admittedly, turns out they're not as good as everyone was predicting at the start of the season, but they've still got some quality players. We went to a Reading team that was unbeaten in a little while when we played them and won. You know, we played a Forest team that's a decent team, a Brentford team that we know who they know all about the Championship. We've beaten teams like this before. Yeah, for sure, Leeds are probably up there as one of the best teams in this division, but, you know, we've all been watching Championship football for long enough to know that on its day, I mean, it is one of the most unpredictable leagues in the world, and anyone can get a result off anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you can. It's one of those leagues that is just so incredibly unpredictable, and that every season seems to be a twist and a turn, you know. And Leeds last week as well, they were all over Derby for the entire game, and then they go and score in like the 90th minute equaliser, didn't they, Derby? So Leeds have got their frailties, as every team has in this division. I think that there's, as you say, it's so tough to call. Week upon week, there's always a twist and a turn somewhere, and I think that we can't look at this run as being the end of the world. I think that we've got tough sides to play. We would have had tough runs. This whole season's a tough run, because at the start of it, we were complete underdogs, and we were thinking we'll be lucky to stay in the division. At the moment, where we're in the top half, we've only lost a couple of games over the last few weeks. We've beaten sides. Like you say, we've surprised people. That Brentford game where we were against the ropes, where it looked like we probably should have lost it, but we won it. And those sort of points are the important ones when it comes to the end of the season. And we are capable of beating absolutely anybody in this division. I believe that truly. And I think that we've just got to go into every game with the shackles off. And if people are already writing us off in this run now, then what have we got to lose if we go into these next couple of games against Leeds, against Swansea and Fulham as well? And even when we play Derby and West Brom in a couple of weeks' time, what's the harm in going in there and playing our game plan? Because if everyone's writing us off as losing it now, we've got absolutely nothing to lose going in there and just playing the way that we believe. And I think that we are capable of beating anybody in this division. And I think that it's an absolute credit to Bowyer that we can look at it now and as people that have come up from League One with with the minimum, you know, the minimal budget and the lack of resources that we have from our owner, and truly compete. Because at the start of the season, we were thinking that we weren't going to be able to compete at all, and look at us now. And I think that we just got to, as fans, we just got to enjoy it every week.
Yeah, some interesting team news as well from a Leeds United point of view, that Pablo Hernandez, Bielsa was saying today that he's not going to be involved. He's got a muscular problem. Very good player for Leeds United, but the problem with teams like Leeds United is they'll take one out and they'll bring another one, very good player in as well. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we're going to hear from Darren Prattley.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Charlie.
Yes!
Yes! Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlie has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, too!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
After finishing third in their first season since promotion, Charlton Athletic Women take on Aston Villa at the Valley on Saturday, October the 12th. The game is heating up to be a popular one in the FA Women's Championship, and tickets are on sale now for the match by visiting booking.casc.co.uk. Get down to the Valley and show your support for Charlton Athletic Women. Charlton Athletic Women versus Aston Villa at the Valley, Saturday, October the 12th, kickoff 3 p.m.
So welcome back. This is Charlton Live. It is the big match preview. Looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Leeds. Cliff Scales says, I totally agree with Bose. They're all tough games, but would rather be playing these tough ones than playing in League One. We've just got to enjoy it. Now, of course, on last Saturday, unfortunately, we went up to Wigan and were beaten by 2-0. Darren Prattley was the captain during that game. He came out to speak to Greg Stubley after the fixture. And to look ahead to the Leeds game as well, really. The veteran engine rumour says that we've got to start putting these two last defeats into perspective.
We've had a great start. We didn't get carried away with the start we've had. When you win games, you don't go out and drink champagne and celebrate, and when you lose games, you don't go home and cry. Obviously, this is going to hurt. It's a long trip back. We feel sorry for the fans that travelled up today. It's not nice sending them back 3 or 4 hours drive and 2 hours on the train. To see the side lose 2-0, but we have to stick together. We have to dust ourselves down, watch the video, see what we can learn, and go again. We have to stick together. I think that's been the best thing about this group, is we've stuck together. We haven't lost many games since I've been here, to be honest, and that's the side of football that you see a different side to people. It's all nice when it's all going well, you're winning, everyone's high-fiving, you're writing good stuff and that. The last two games we've lost, we have to take the criticism that comes with it. Dust ourselves down and go again next week. Next week we plan the champions, or the so-called champions, are expected to win the league, and we're going to have to raise it, because if we play like that, then we will get punished.
How important is it that someone like yourself has had a lot of championship experience and knows what this division's like? You do have those good times, you do have those bad times.
Yeah.
Helps what is essentially quite a young team.
Yeah, it is. Like I said, football's easy when it's all going well. Your passes are coming off, you're winning, you're scoring goals, you're getting pats on the back, you're getting told you're this, you're that. There's another side of football as well, which we haven't really experienced. But this team is good. We stick together. No one's happy in there. Like I said, we don't go out and celebrate and big ourselves up or something like that. We win together, we lose together. We lost two. I think, I don't know, we lost two in a row last year, to be honest. Did we? Yeah, well, it ain't really happened to us too many times. So it hurts. We don't like losing games. But like I said, we have to dust ourselves down, go again. This league can be unforgiving sometimes. Sometimes you can go on a little bad run. But hopefully we can make that right next week.
Yeah, I think it was once last year, we lost back-to-back, and that was towards the end of the season, towards the end of the calendar year, 2018, so we lost to Coventry and lost to Barnes.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, against Leeds, which is a tough game, but they dropped points today, there'll probably be a few expectations on them to win. Do you feel like Cheltenham have already shown this season that when we're the underdog and up against it,
to be fair, whoever we play, we want to go into the game and win, whether if we played against a high side in the Premier League, whatever. We want to win every game that we can. We're going to the game coming off the back of a defeat, and we want to put that right, especially in front of our home fans. I think it'd be a good it'd be a sellout at the Valley next week, and the boys want to put it right. No one likes losing games, and hopefully we can get something out of the game against Leeds next week.
How important is that the morale stays quite high after those two defeats, that it's important that we don't drop?
Yeah, obviously you're going to be disappointed now. You have to take that on the chin, take the criticism that comes your way. That's part and parcel of football. Like I said, it's all nice when you scan thing, but when it goes bad, you have to take that on the chin. So we have to take that on the chin, dust ourselves down, Monday, come in, fresh start, looking ready for Leeds on Saturday.
As someone who's played in a lot of Championship teams, how have you found this Charlton side so far this season?
We started well, we've done well. Obviously, it's an hard question after we've just been back of two defeats to start praising anyone, but we've done okay. I think we haven't hit our peak yet. We can still do better, and we're learning as a team. We're learning. It's a new division for us. Well, some of us haven't played in this division before, and like I said, if you look at majority of the teams, they can lose a few, win a few. You just have to keep, like you said, keep your morale up and go again.
So there we go. That was Darren Prattley. Sort of looking ahead to Saturday's game with Leeds and making sure that we start to put the last couple of games behind us, Lewis. I guess, you know, the important thing is not to get too down into the dumps. I mean, it was actually twice last season that we lost two in a row. Scunthorpe and Coventry was in there sort of October time, and then we went on and had that around the turn of the year as well. You have to go all the way back to February, March 2018 for the last time we lost three in a row in the league, which was sort of coming towards the end of Carl Robinson's tenure. We lost at home to Shrewsbury, then got beat 4-1 at Peterborough, then 1-0 at Blackpool, when we were clearly on a downwards spiral. So this is not a team that's used to going on losing runs is the important thing. So how they now react. And obviously Prattley's sort of talking about there, you know, he's an experienced man. He's been through runs like this before, I'm sure. He knows you have to keep your morale up and put it behind yourselves. Take it on the chin when you get beat and make sure you put it right as soon as possible.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that Lee Bowyer would have focused on that this week in terms of turning it around. It's not something we're used to. And like you say, Lee Bowyer's not lost three in a row during his time here either. So he's not going to want Saturday to be the first time that happens. So we just got to dust ourselves down and crack on. It's a long season. We're a young squad. We've got those experienced players in there like Darren Prattley he's going to be extremely important during these sort of periods if we are on a bit of a downward spiral. But also, we just got to stick with the team because we're overachieving already by doing what we're doing. And we had an amazing campaign last year with that playoff final. That positivity's carried on into that start of the season. And yes, we've lost a couple now, but all in all, when you look at how we're doing in this division, we've had some great times this season already. And there's a really long way to go, and there's no reason why, come 5 o'clock, half past five Saturday, we're not there bouncing around the Valley, celebrating a little last gasp 1-0 win against the Leeds side that have battered us all game. But that's the Charlton way, and we've got to keep that confidence because this side's special, and I think that if anyone's capable of turning this run around, it's this set of players and it's Lee Bowyer.
Yeah, obviously someone like Pratters with these experiences. I'm going to say you need a cool head like Prattley, but then when you're thinking back to what he did on Saturday up at Wigan where he got a bit annoyed with a bit of confusion over a drop ball and ended up throttling someone. But, you know, he is the sort of character you need to pull us through. I remember when we spoke to him at the Player of the Year dinner before the playoffs, and we were really impressed with what he had to say. And then he is the sort of character that you need inside a dressing room and on the pitch as well. You know, I think we're downplaying if we're only talking about his character in the dressing room, because on the pitch he's the sort of one who'll run around, you know, work hard, get stuck in, very fit player for a man of his age as well. You know, he's such an important body in our team. And I have to admit, this time last year, I don't think we were saying that.
No, I don't think we were. I think we saw him coming in as a positive, but saw him as maybe playing, being a bit of a bit part player that would fill in when needed, and then was more for sort of in and around the dressing room for the young players. But every time he's played, you know, especially this season, he's really impressed me. And I think especially in those playoff games last year, he was paramount. And I think that having someone like him in and around the club, especially with the young boys and in the midfield as well, because we've got a young midfield, and we've, you know, the likes of Josh Cullen can only be improving playing alongside the likes of Darren Prattley, the, you know, Conor Gallagher, Johnny Williams even, all these people are definitely improving for having Darren Prattley in and around them. And I think that he's been fantastic, and I was so pleased when he got that contract extension in the summer, because it, not only did he deserve it based on last season, but I think in and around the club he seems like a really popular guy. And that's the second time, sadly, the second time I've spoken to him after the game, and I'm always impressed with what he's got to say, and I'm always impressed with his attitude towards Charlton Athletic as a football club. And I think that he's a really important player to have in and around the place, and I'm really glad that he's still here with us.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's check in with the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust, Heather McKinley from that organisation. I spoke to her the other day, just to find out a little bit about the sort of thing that the Trust do. She was telling me about a ticket survey that they've taken in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, the Supporters Trust undertook the ticketing survey from around mid-August through to mid-September. We had just under 600 responses in total. Most of those were people completing the survey online, but some were hard copies that we collected around the Brentford game. It was specifically about the online ticketing system, and we also asked quite a bit around people's experiences of purchasing tickets for the playoffs, because that was actually when quite a lot of people had experience of the ticketing system for the first time, or certainly, you know, kind of led to use it to get their tickets for those important games. Overall satisfaction with the system was quite good at 86%. So that, you know, I think shows that on the whole people find the online ticketing system to be quite a convenient and easy way to purchase their tickets. But interestingly, when we dug a little bit further into the results, there was an awful lot to uncover and to really learn from. We found that those people who found purchasing tickets for the playoffs stressful, their satisfaction dropped to 74%, whereas those people who didn't find it stressful at all rated the system at 96%. So, you know, clearly quite a clear correlation there with people finding the system adding to their stress, or actually just helping them get what they wanted very easily.
Did the survey find any areas that could be improved upon?
Yeah, definitely. We asked around the questions around how people felt the club had communicated about the playoffs. And while people were satisfied on the whole with how quickly the club communicated about the playoff tickets going on sale, and also how they, you know, set out the allocation process, on the whole, people found that was quite fair. But what they, where there is, I suppose, room for improvement, was in helping people use the ticketing system. And there were quite a few people who found it a little bit more difficult to use, and they didn't really have anywhere to go to help them. I think over 80% of people said that they think the online ticketing system needs some form of customer service backup. And there were quite a lot of people who found that they couldn't contact the club or didn't know who to contact at the club if they were facing any issues. And some of the issues that came up, about a third of people had difficulty actually logging on and accessing the system, and around 20% had issues with points allocation or Valley Gold allocation. And then again, about 20% found it difficult to assign tickets to family and friends, which was actually quite important if you wanted to get seats together. So those are the kind of things that, you know, we've got as good learning points that we can pass on and share with the club.
Yeah, you mentioned that the Trust will go, or have already shared some of this information with the club, and are planning on meeting them to discuss stuff in future. So I guess this is the sort of thing that the supporters trust show that they can do. They can sort of be a bridge between the fans and the club and help to try and improve things where needed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we feel it's the kind of appropriate thing for a supporters trust to do. Obviously, you know, as with many fans, we still have some issues with the ownership of the club, and we'd very much like that to be resolved positively going forward. In the meantime, we think, you know, it is important that we're representing fans over important issues, and, you know, ticketing and how easy it is for people to access getting their match tickets in a simple and straightforward way is obviously key. We've shared the results already with the club. There's more detail about the results on the CAST website at castrust.org. I think they were due to be discussed at the fans forum meeting that's just taken place, and Richard Wiseman, the chair of the trust, is meeting with the club. I think that was even due to happen today by the time this interview goes out. That will include discussion around the more detailed comments that we receive from people. Although, you know, I've given some of the headline numbers from the survey, we also gave people the opportunity to give specific comments, and we had over 800 of those. So again, Richard, lucky Richard, has been spending a bit of time analysing those, and they go into quite a lot of the specific detail that I think will be really useful for the club to learn from going forward.
Taylor, then Gallagher now has it in space in the centre circle, and he plays a good ball forward to Lecco, who's able to turn. He might think about a shot, Jonathan Lecco. He's just gone a little bit wide, gets it back onto his left foot, and he shoots.
Yes!
It's taken a deflection, and it's gone in, and Jonathan Lecco has put the Alex 1-0 up. It was a great ball in from Conor Gallagher. Lecco had space on the edge of the box to turn. He pushed himself a little bit wide onto his right foot, then cut back into his left, fired a shot forwards. I think it came off Michael Morrison, but it was certainly a Reading player, and it's deflected past Raphael and into the back of the net.
Welcome back. This is Charlton Live, the big match preview coming to you live on your Thursday evening or via the podcast afterwards. Don't forget, as I say every week, make sure you subscribe to our podcast to get our show downloaded to your phone or device or whatever twice a week automatically. Then you will never miss another episode of Charlton Live, you lucky people. Leeds, we've been focusing a lot on Leeds coming to the Valley on Saturday because obviously it's a huge game for the Addicts as we look to try and bounce back from a couple of defeats. For Leeds United themselves, they're top of the league, as you'd expect. You'd expect their fans to be reasonably happy with that, wouldn't you? I spoke to Matt Glennon, who's a former Carlisle, Huddersfield and Halifax Town goalkeeper. And I said to him, well, with that start, they must be pretty delighted, those Leeds United fans.
You think so, but I mean, Leeds fans are quite hard to make happy. Because the home form's, you know, I mean, not been good. Obviously, the weekend again, conceding that last minute goal after totally dominating a game for a full 90 minutes. Dad had one shot on target, scored. And that goes right back to the season. Forest, one shot on target, scored. I think it was Swansea had two shots on target, scored last minute. So home matches, not great. Away games, excellent, decent form, scoring goals, keeping clean sheets, and looking dangerous. They just need to sort that home form up and they'll be out of sight already.
Yeah, I mean, obviously after the season they had last year, being in that top two for so long and then eventually losing out in the playoffs, I guess there's still a lot of expectation around the club and possibly a determination to try and go that one step further this season.
There is, and also with Bielsa being, you know, in one more season in now, I don't think anyone realises till they come to this country how tough the Championship is. Saturday, Tuesday, FA Cup, League Cup, you know what I mean? It's a tough division to be involved in. You need to have a decent squad size, you need quality in there as well, because there's a lot of money, as you know, sloshing around the Championship as well, so you've got to be prepared. They didn't strengthen in January last season, and I think that's what cost them. And that's why they didn't get promoted.
Yeah, you mentioned Marco Bielsa there. Obviously, I mean, he was a huge name to be coming into the English Championship, and he's got so much experience as well. Do you think he is the sort of coach that Leeds need, really? Obviously, quite a big club as well, and a big name. They seem to go hand in hand quite well.
He doesn't feel the pressure. with the massive crowds they get, the fact they've not been in the Premier League for so long, there is a huge expectation. And he just bats it off. He does his job. I mean, he does his homework, as we've all seen. I mean, unbelievably on site. He's probably watched, 200 hours of Charlton before he even gets to the stadium on Saturday to play against them. So yeah, he was a big, a big catch for him. Obviously, he gets paid very well. It's reported £3 million a year, so he gets rewarded for his hard work. Mm. But he just seems to bring the best out of players, because they were very average the year before he came in, and he seems to be able to get the best out of a squad that had failed.
Mm. Yeah, and you mentioned that away form. Obviously, with Leeds coming to the Valley on Saturday, they have been so strong. Yeah. They've won each and every one of their away games so far this season. What do you think it is that makes them so potent on the road?
I don't know if it's the pressure of Elland Road. I don't know if that expectation maybe boils over onto the pitch, because they are dominating games. They just can't seem to finish teams off at home. Bamford, numerous chances. Eddie and Ketter as well is playing really well. And just the penalty that was missed at the weekend, I don't know. There's numerous things going on at home that don't seem to happen away from home.
Yeah, and how do they tend to set up away from home? Do they try and come out and play and try and swarm all over the teams they play, or are they a bit more conservative away from home? Because as Charlton fans, I think we've struggled really to deal with teams that come and sit behind the ball against us, whereas I think if Leeds came out, it could make for quite an open game. So how do you think they would sort of approach the game on Saturday?
Well, it was an unchanged side the weekend, 4-1-4-1, which is exactly what they played the game before. It was Barnsley away, and he doesn't change massively. If you look at the actual stats, a lot of people don't like them, for the home games and away games, there's not massive differences. Loads of possession, lots of chances, just don't score as many goals as they should do. And they just seem to dominate teams. As you say there, they swarm players. And if your players aren't on their metal every single time they receive possession, then there's going to be 2-3 Leeds players all over them, because, again, the fitness is phenomenal as well.
So finally, with the game coming up on Saturday, I mean, I know we know what to expect with the fans, because it's going to be a sellout away end at the Valley. But which players do you think are the main ones that Charlton fans should have their eyes on, who could cause the Addicts the most damage on Saturday?
Well, when you're talking away games, I mean, Bamford is a threat, and he will score goals. He's got a few already this season. I think he's up to 4, and they're all away as well, all away goals that he scored this season. Eddie Nketiah, which I mentioned there, he's a real live wire. There's a few as well. Hernandez, to be fair, is an absolute maestro of a footballer. Not quite at his best at this moment in time. We'll see if he really hits, hits the heights at the weekend. You've got Ben White at the back, absolutely superb. He's a young lad who's come in to take over from quite a big player who went off to Brentford. Pontus Janssen, who was a big character in the club, he went off to Brentford for a decent amount of money. This young lad's come in and just been absolutely exceptional. Sitted next to Cooper excellently. And obviously you've got a goalkeeper who they brought in from Real Madrid. Got a bit of criticism in the playoffs last year, but is making big saves this year, playing well. So they've got quite a balanced side of experience and youth. And I'd expect Leeds to be at the very top, for at least 90% of the season.
There we go. Matt Glennon, not exactly filling us with any more confidence than what we've had before. But everything that we're hearing is about how Leeds are a great side. I mean, even we're talking about the quality that they've got to come in. So with Pablo Hernandez out injured, they're able to bring in the chap they've got on loan from Wolves, Helder Costa, who's worth £15 million or something. So, I mean, it just shows the squad depth and the quality that they've got.
Yeah, it does. And as we were saying off air then about the journalist mentioned about them not really scoring many goals, they create a load of chances, but they're not very clinical. But they've got a striker in Patrick Bamford, and they've got a backup striker in the form of Eddie Nketiah, who's, I think he's scored quite a few for them now. And, they've got big players in and around their side. Mateusz Klich is someone that performed from last season, and I was surprised that they let go of Pontus Janssen in the summer. It was a bit of a bizarre transfer, that.
Apparently he was meant to be of a bit of a disruptive influence around the dressing room.
Bit of a fallout when they had the Aston Villa sportsmanship wobble, where Janssen tried preventing Villa from scoring the equaliser. So whether he was there was some disagreements between him and Bielsa, I'll never know. But it seems like the young guy they've got in White is performing really well. And you know, on paper, their side's incredible. At this level, they've got a fantastic side. And it's going to be tough. But you know, Stoke have got a Premier League side on paper. And we managed to beat them and they're not doing very well. So it's going to be interesting. We already know how good of a side Leeds are. And it's going to be a real test. And probably the toughest test that we're going to have this season, because we'll probably be a little bit of pressure on us to perform at home. So we'll see how we go. I'm fairly confident, so I'm not going to get I'm trying not to get too excited, because I always get too confident and then we lose. Like Wigan.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like we said, the big name manager as well, and Marcelo Bielsa. I'm going to learn his name properly at some point before the weekend. I mean, he's meant to be a bit of a master tactician. He talks about getting his team very fit. Now, one thing you always hear about Bielsa is apparently his team tend to fade by the end of the season because they are so fit they get tired before the end of the campaign. And we've got him on the last day of the season, which is good news, but unfortunately we're still at the start of the season now. So obviously got to be right in their pomp, and that's one thing that Bayou was sort of saying in press day today. He'd love to know how he gets the Leeds players up to that level of fitness, because we were a fit side last season and he thinks we're up there as well, but Leeds just seem to take it to another level.
Yeah, and you know, the evidence is there that towards the tail end of the season they do seem to spiral off a little bit. We had it, you know, last year they had it in the playoffs that they were in the top for so long, and they sort of came away from that race that they had with Norwich and Sheffield United for that top two spot. And Bielsa is a well-respected manager. We were going through some of his teams there, you know, Marseille, Lazio, the Argentinian national side that he's managed previous to this, and to have someone of his managerial stature in the second tier of English football is a credit to our league, really, and it's a bit of a pleasure to have him about. And I'm quite a big Bielsa fan. I like the way that he goes about it. Obviously, the Spygate thing was a bit, I think that was something that's probably blown out of proportion. You know, everyone does their scouting, but breaking into training grounds is a bit much. But I do quite like Bielsa and the way that he sets up.
From a personal point of view, I don't think I can slag anyone off for looking through the fence of a training ground, because I've got someone who does that. So
there you go. Yeah, can't go wrong.
Yeah, right. Excellent stuff. Let's have a look to ahead in terms of team news from a Charlton point of view. Obviously, we've had a couple of injury crises over the last, well, injury crisis, one player really, in Lyle Taylor. But there's been a couple of others with Knox as well. So Lee Bayer updates us on those, starting off with whether Jason Pearce could feature against his former side on Saturday.
Jason was available last week, but you have to be careful with him. He hardly trained last week, so he's trained this week fully. So yeah, he's up for selection properly, you know. But again, we have to be careful. We've got Wednesday, Saturday, so it's a tough week coming up, so some players can and can't do the Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. So it's just something that I've got to be mindful of. Lyle, he's no closer. He's still in a brace. He's going to be in that for maybe another couple of weeks. Then we'll have more of an idea. But until that, then I'll just keep hobbling around.
And Baron Kyle, is there any news on him?
He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. He had to go for a scan, and he's got something wrong with his groin. He's had to have like a bit of inflammation around his groin, so he's had to have an injection in there. So it's going to be a couple of weeks before he's back out training again.
And everyone else fit?
Yeah, everyone else is fit. Some of the lads midweek against Ipswich got 90. Couple of them got 90, and Chuck's got 75 into. So yeah, Adam Matthews is coming along nicely. Created two goals on Monday, so he's getting fitter and stronger, and which is good for us, because obviously we've only got Chris Solly there, and he's going to need some help. So
when would you expect Adam to be available for selection?
Next week. He will play next week at some stage.
There we go. So no Adam Matthews on Saturday by the sounds of it, but probably be involved somewhere between the games against Swansea and the game at Fulham as well, to give Solly a bit of a break by the sounds of it. But I mean, first things first, Piercy. Sounds like he'll be available. He was available. I mean, he was on the bench on Saturday. He's had this little niggle, and when I asked Bose about it last weekend after the game at Wigan, he could have played, I think, if we were desperate, but obviously we're not, and we do have Naby Sarr came in at the back. And now I sort of said on Sunday's show, I thought we defended okay at Wigan in open play. For some reason, we just had a horror show at set pieces. But, you know, you're looking at Jason Pearce. I mean, he is an incredible defender against his former club. I'd be surprised if he doesn't come in, if he is fit enough to start.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he didn't start. I think we really missed him. I think not so much defensively, I just think his leadership quality. I think we missed that, you know, he's not afraid of a last ditch, you know, a crunching tackle, is he? He's not afraid to sort of leave people open mouthed thinking that he's absolutely clattered somebody. And I think that there are so many qualities to Jason Pearce's game that, especially at this level with a young squad, is really important to have. And that's no dig at Naby, because I think Naby has performed well when he's come in. I just think that Pearcey has that extra factor at this level, that aggression and stuff that you probably need to sort of scrape results against sides like Leeds. And we probably would have been useful up at Wigan as well, but it was one of those where if we'd have played him, we could have lost him for a long time. So I'm glad that he's sort of rested. I'm glad he's trained this week, and I can see him coming straight back into the side, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of choices to be made all over the pitch, but in particular in midfield for Lee Bowyer. I mean, obviously the shape that he goes with for starters. If he goes to three at the back, we could end up seeing Pearce and Sarr both in there anyway. But looking at the midfield shape, you know, would it be the flat one, the diamond? Who knows? Could we put five in there with a 3-5-2? We don't know, but there are certainly options. I mean, one sort of straight swap that's been going sort of back and forth last couple of weeks has been Sam Field and Darren Prattley. Again, against the league leaders, I feel like I probably lean towards Darren Prattley going in there as the more experienced head. Although Sam Field, you know, he's played in the Championship himself, and he's obviously a much younger player. So there's one decision for Bowes to be making. There's the sort of, you know, I think Gallagher and Cullen tend to get into the side most weeks now. But then you're going to look at the mixture between Williams and Otsuma. Obviously, Otsuma was left out of the squad last weekend, and there's no injury involved there. It's just to give someone else a chance on the bench. I think Bowyer wanted to have another defensive option on the bench last week. So there's a few choices there that he's going to have to chop and change. I mean, are there any in particular ones sort of standing out in the midfield that you think could be mixed up for Saturday?
In terms of mixing up, not really. I think Prattley has to remain in there. I think that his experience along with Pearcey will be really important on Saturday. I can see, obviously, I think the rest of the midfield picks itself in terms of Williams, Cullen and Gallagher at the moment, I think that they're all doing extremely well, and I don't think you could drop any of them. I'd like to see Ostrom come back in and around the 18. I think that I was a little bit baffled that he wasn't in that squad last Saturday, because I think that he can make things happen. I think he's a tricky and clever player, and I think he's someone that we should have around. And then you're moving on to up front. Does he change it up there? Does he, depending if we play wide, that's the thing. If Leeds are playing a 4-1-4-1, do we try and match up and go wide? Do we play a flat 4-4-2? And match them up for width? Do we go for five at the back? There's options there. I think if we stick with our game plan and go for the narrow diamond that we usually play, I think it'd be fairly unchanged in the midfield, and I think he'd probably lean towards Hemed and Lecco again, I imagine. But I would, if I'm being honest, I would like to see Chuck Sanike come in, because I think that he can make things happen.
You know, do you think we're getting to that stage now where he might think about a change? Because as I sort of said earlier, you know, he's still talking about Hemed getting up his fitness, looking sharper as the weeks go on. But it's so early, it's two starts, but we haven't quite seen an end product yet. But I mean, you know, we're football fans, we won everything yesterday. You know, are fans demanding a change too soon on that one? But as I say, you know, Chucks has played well when he's come off the bench quite a few times this season, and got that 75 minutes of added work into his legs on Monday for the 23. So he must be getting close to a start at least.
I think he deserves one. I think I agree with you totally in the fact that when he came on against Reading, I thought that he completely changed the game. I thought he was class. And against Forest when he came on here as well. There was one time that he came on, I can't remember where it was now, I think it was away from home at Barnsley, where he had that chance that he missed. But you know, we're not scoring chances now. And I think that he needs to come in. If I'm being honest, I think that I would keep Hemed in there with Chucks, and I think I'd probably take Lecco out, because I didn't think he had the best game last Saturday. I think I was a bit disappointed with some of his decision making in the final third. I think sometimes he takes that extra touch, but then that comes with a player when you're an unpredictable raw player like Jonathan Lecco, you are going to have those moments of frustration, but then the next time he does it could be a complete moment of magic. So do you change it up and have Lecco as someone to come off the bench when you might have a couple of tired Leeds legs out there and you've got someone with the pace and the unpredictability of Lecco to change things up? I could see that happening maybe, but if Chuck's played 75 midweek, then maybe he will just be on the bench.
Yeah, Bo's also mentioned about Baron Kyle. Obviously, he pulled out of the trip to Wigan on the Friday before the game. Sounds like a couple of weeks away now with a, what do you say, a groin, I think. So that's an ideal. I mean, we're still waiting to see Berham in his full pomp, really. He's only had that short cameo spell against Birmingham where overhit a couple of crosses. You know, he wasn't in the game long enough to make any real impact. He's a great player to have waiting in the wings. We're just hoping he doesn't turn into the sort of player that we were talking about, Mikel Alonso, we saw once or twice. I mean, obviously he's a better player than him, but you know, a player who just never gets the chance to show us what he can do.
Yeah, I'm hoping that he's not away for too long. He's come here with a big reputation and he's somebody that has impressed at this level with Brighton and was in and around their Premier League side as well when they got promoted. And he's someone that we know has bundles of quality and everything. So, yeah, it wasn't his best introduction to a Charlton shirt against Birmingham when he came on. But as you say, he was on for such a short amount of time, you can't really make a huge amount happen. You know, when Johnny Williams first came on for his Charlton debut, he had that pass that sort of ran straight out of play and we were thinking, oh no. And now look at him now. So, you know, Baron Kyle, you give him a couple of opportunities, give him some more minutes, get more minutes into him, then we're laughing.
Excellent stuff. Right, you've got 10 seconds to give me your prediction. I think I know who's going to be winning in your mind.
Oh yeah, 2-1 Charlton.
Lovely stuff. Well, that'll do me just fine. Right, we've run out of time here on Charlton Live. The big match preview has flown past. Thanks to all of you who've listened this evening and got involved and with your tweets and whatnot. Thanks to Lewis for coming in.
No worries,
good
mate.
To see you. Exactly. We'll be back here on Sunday evening to look back at whatever happens against Leeds United. I hope you can join us then. So I hope you have enjoyed the show. I am Louis Mendes and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday when hopefully we will be talking about that 2-1 victory that Lewis Cat has predicted. We shall see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.